I remember the line from the movie very well. The line was, "All show and no stay." Any of you ever heard that old expression? It's a line from a movie, a John Wayne movie. When I was about 12 years old, when it came to movies, I was in my John Wayne period. Not there quite as much anymore, but I still remember an awful lot of the lines from those movies. And the movie was called McClintock, and John Wayne was playing John Wayne, as John Wayne usually did. And he uses this old expression in reference to his daughter in the movie. He's worried that she'll be all show and no stay. And what that means is he's worried that his daughter will put on a good talk and she'll put on good airs, but she won't have any depth. She won't have any sincerity. She won't have a deep character and sincerity in her heart. And let's be honest, don't we all seek people who are sincere, who are real, who are honest? These are traits that show character. No one wants a friend who puts on a good act but isn't really there to have our back when things go wrong. No one wants someone to work with at work who talks a really good talk, but when the job has to be done, they can't back up what they promised. All of us have been let down by someone who said we could trust them, but we really couldn't. The people we look to in life are not the boasters and the braggarts. They are people instead of real and authentic character, of decency, of love, the sincere people who we can trust. Such people will teach us in our lives. Such people will give us strength in our lives, sometimes long after they are gone. Now, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to live a life of authenticity and sincerity. To be authentic and sincere about two things: loving God with all we are and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Now, to be a disciple does not mean that we will be perfect. Not a one of us is perfect. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we need God's grace. To be a disciple does, however, mean that we are willing to be shaped by God's grace and to be made more perfect, to get better day by day and year by year, to seek with God's loving grace to improve, to make amends when needed. A disciple does not put on an act trying to impress people. Rather, they seek with God's help to love people and to do right by them, whether it impresses people or not. Now, our passage for today continues this examination of how Jesus lays out what it means to be a disciple. And first, we hear we are called to be salt and light. Now, those are two things that in their own way are very, very much stand out. You can't mistake salt for anything else. You can't really mistake light for anything else either. But then the passage might seem to make a turn. It says that in our giving, in our praying, in our fasting, in our devotion, that we're not to draw attention to ourselves. But don't salt and light draw attention to themselves? Is Jesus saying two separate things here? Well, no, not actually. What Jesus is saying is that we are called to live out our discipleship with sincerity and humility. And in so doing, others will see God's love because of the fruit that our lives bear. Jesus is saying that our sincerity in our faith matters, and that if we are truly sincere in our faith, we will share God's love with others and be a blessing to them, and we ourselves will also be blessed. So let's start with salt. I love salt. It turns things like eggs and potatoes from kind of flavorless into delicious. Just the right amount on a steak that's very rare is a beautiful thing. Salt is the base of flavor for so many dishes, all the savory dishes in our world. And even things where the primary flavor is not salt, salt brings out the other flavors. You need just a little bit of salt in the cookie or the cake batter to really make the sweetness sing when it's baked. But salt is not just for flavor. It's a necessity. You need a certain amount of salt in your diet to stay alive. Now, in the case of many of us, like me, I probably eat more salt than I really need. But humans need salt. And particularly if you live in a hot climate where you're going to perspire a lot, you need a little bit more salt. And salt also is not just for flavor, it also makes food last. It preserves things. In Jesus' time, many, many, many centuries before anyone invented refrigeration, salt is what kept meat and fish from spoiling in the hot Middle Eastern sun. Salt is what kept bread from going bad. Salt is often what allowed people to preserve food so that they would have something to eat in those lean months when the crops were growing in the fields, but they were still too green to eat. Salt wasn't a luxury. Salt was life and death. And Jesus says we are to be salt. So what does he mean? Followers of Jesus are to be like salt. We are to preserve things. We are to preserve the society around us. Christians, Jesus' disciples, are called to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give shelter to the homeless, to heal the sick, and to offer hope to everyone we meet. As salt preserves food and makes it safe to eat, we, in a sense, are to preserve the people around us and make society safer and better in Jesus' name. And salt also gives flavor. We are to give flavor. Life is not meant to be drudgery. Life is not meant to be miserable. Jesus says we are to have life and to have it abundantly. And if we are the salt of the earth in Jesus' name, we can help there be a little bit more joy, a little bit more flavor in this world. But salt needs to stay pure if it's in order to do what it needs to do. Salt loses its flavor if it gets too mixed up with other minerals. And likewise, we as disciples will lose our flavor and not be able to live out our calling if we get too mixed up with other things. We are called to love God and love our neighbors. But if we get wrapped up in seeking money or fame or approval or attention or whatever else in our lives, we lose our purity. The world does not need another person who's trying to get ahead no matter the cost to anyone else. The world does not need someone who wants to be famous purely to be famous. Rather, the world needs people who will sincerely love God and love those around them. If we lose the purity of our mission, we're not going to be the good that we are called to be. Even if we do the right thing for the wrong reasons, we will not be the blessing that we could be otherwise. And then Jesus goes on to say that we are called to be light, the light of the world. So I want you to imagine a dark night, a night with no moon, or maybe a night where the moon's obscured by clouds. Imagine you're at a campground or a state park or a national park or something like that, and you're walking in the darkness through the forest or maybe across a meadow. It's dark. With no light above you, it would be easy to lose your bearings, but you're not worried because in the distance you see the glowing red of a fire, the red and the orange and yellows, and you know around that fire is somebody who's your friend or a member of your family. And you just look at that fire and it guides you in. You know that when you get to that fire, there will be warmth to fight off the chill of the night. You know there will be love and relationship with the people around that fire. And if you need it, there'll even be a hot meal around that fire. The fire is not blinding. The fire is not like a searchlight hitting us in the eyes that means that we can't see anything else except the light. Rather, the fire guides us towards the love that we can find around it. We are called to do likewise with our lives. We are called to share the light of God's love, to invite other people into loving community, to invite people to the fireside so that they might feel the love and the warmth of God's love. To be light and to be salt is not to be the center of attention. Rather, we are to preserve as salt does. We are to, as light does, guide people towards safety. We are to live lives that remind us that it's not about us, it's about God's love and inviting other people to know God's love. Our saltiness, if it's truly saltiness in Jesus' name, can preserve the world around us and bring healing. Our light, if it's truly the light of God that we're trying to shine out, will offer people a safe path in the darkness. We offer love and support. And in those ways, we can see how these passages of salt, about salt and light, connect to what Jesus says about giving and prayer and fasting. When you give something, you can give for two reasons, I think. You can give expecting that the person's going to give something back to you. in a sense, it's almost not even a gift. You're giving so that you can get something back. Either someone will give something back to you personally, or you think you'll impress people by it. Or you can give because you just want to help someone. I read a book many years ago, and I admit I was deeply troubled by something that I read in the book. The author of the book quoted a man who said how much he enjoyed giving to charity because it reminded him of how powerful he was. That doesn't seem like why we're supposed to give to charity, is it? Aren't we supposed to give to help someone else? The point of a gift is not to be remembered forever or not to look good in front of other people's eyes. The point is to help someone who needs something. And that is what Jesus is calling us to do. Jesus is saying, when you give to help someone else. Be the salt of the earth. Give your time or whatever else in such a way that you preserve someone else and bless their lives. And we are also called to pray sincerely. When we go to pray to God, it's not just about fancy and beautiful words. It's not just about beautiful language. God will not be impressed by how many these and thous we say as we pray. Rather, it's about sincerely talking to God and sincerely listening for how God will respond to our prayers. Trying to show off to God with beautiful words in a prayer is pointless. All it does is puff ourselves up. All it does is make us more arrogant. And as we puff ourselves up, we'll actually push God farther away. Or I should say, we will push ourselves farther away from God. Now, sometimes we are called to pray, or at least some of us are, in a way that others will hear, that it won't just be a personal prayer. You might be asked to pray in public. And again, it's the same principle. It's not about, let me say these beautiful words that will impress everyone, or let me show how much emotion I have, or let me make it as loud or as flowery as possible. There have been times I've been asked to pray in public, and I fear I've probably fallen into some of those traps and tried to impress someone. But it's not about impressing anyone. It's about helping people to connect with the love of God, that we may be transformed by God's love shown to us through Jesus Christ. And then finally, there's fasting. Now, my guess is few of us here today fast for religious reasons on a regular basis. Though if you are a faster, please tell me about it, because I admit it's something I don't do very often. I've not fasted for religious reasons in a long time. Usually it's just that I have to get some blood drawn. Any of you be able to identify with that? But don't just think of what Jesus says about fasting as purely about giving up food for a while. Think about it in connection to anything we do to show devotion to God. We can do something to show devotion to God to try to show off. We could cover our bodies or our cars with crosses, or we could cover our body with crosses. We could cover our cars with bumper stickers. We could try to show off how sincere our faith is. But here's the thing. Are we doing that out of a sincere faith, or are we trying to look good? As I was doing my research this week from the New Interpreter's Bible, the scholar said that the word hypocrite actually means actor, or at least that's what it meant in the ancient world. Now, it's that sense, it's fine to be a hypocrite. It's fine to be an actor when you're on the stage, but you don't want to be an actor in every moment of your life, never being who you really are. That's not a good way to live your life. People who are truly devoted to God, who are truly sincere in their acts of devotion, whether it's prayer, whether it's scripture reading, whether it's meditation, whether it's fasting, whether it's some combination or something else entirely, they are trying to connect with God so that they can have a more sincere and deep relationship with God, so that they might know the love of God more profoundly and be full of that love to share it with others. A person's devotion is to connect us with God so that we can be the salt and the light for the world, that we can guide people in the darkness. And if we are sincere in our devotion, whatever practice we choose, we will bless others, not simply try to impress them. So I want to close today with a paragraph about a guy I know who was salt and light in this world. His name was Ernie. He was a man of modest means who was retired, and in retirement he served as a part-time pastor of a small church in the town of Winfield, Kansas, where I lived many years ago. Ernie, in every interaction I ever had with him, and every interaction I ever saw him have with anyone else, was genuinely kind and decent and caring. And he was a great listener. Frankly, a lot better listener than I am a lot of the time. At that time in my life, I worked at Southwestern College, which is located in Winfield, Kansas. And Ernie would come and take meals in the college cafeteria, and he would just sit and talk to the students and the staff of the college and just get to know people. He wanted to share about Jesus, but he knew that no one was going to care what he had to say about Jesus if he didn't show that he first cared about them purely as a human being, as a fellow child of God. I remember in particular how Ernie befriended a guy I became good friends with later on. This was a young man who, frankly, had not had a lot of people befriend him in his life. He'd had a lot of people treat him pretty rotten. He wasn't particularly religious. But Ernie was always there for him. He and Ernie would sit at the table and they would talk, and they might not always agree on everything, but they were in a relationship with each other and they were friends, and Ernie didn't try to push things. He tried to be a loving presence of Christ in this young man's life. Ernie was salt and light. He was giving guidance and love to people around him, and he was a blessing to everyone who knew him. And he was humble about it. Christ doesn't call on us to try and show off. Christ doesn't want us to put on an act. Christ rather teaches us to love God and to love those around us. And if we do these sincerely, relationships are going to form. Opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ will come up. Lives will change for the better. We are going to be able and in a position to help those who are hurting and suffering. With God's guidance and God's help, we can live into this sincerity and humility, and we can bless those around us. May we, as the great Christian St. Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel constantly and use words only when absolutely necessary. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.